Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Hey, and welcome to The Short Stuff. I'm Josh, and there's Chuck, and this is Short Stuff. Dave's here. He says hi. He's not really here. Jerry's here. She says hi, too. At any rate, this is Short Stuff, and I've just wasted a terrible amount of time.
That's right. And this episode makes me think of the great song Pet Politics by Silver Jews, R.I.P. Dave Berman, full stop.
Okay. So it makes me think, Chuck, of animals that have been elected to office.
Because that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, we are. There's apparently a long tradition, not just in the United States, where it's surprisingly prevalent, but around the world, people have elected animals to office, sometimes to make a point, sometimes to raise money for the local whatever, sometimes to insult people, usually other politicians. But there's like a pretty lengthy history of it.
There is. And it's funny, when you sent me the sources for this, Fodor's, how do you pronounce that?
I think you just said it.
Fodor's was one of them. And then I was like, Reader's Digest has got to be one of these. And sure enough, Reader's Digest was one of the sources.
Yeah,
it's right, it up really their alley.
Is. Yeah, totally. So one of the first examples I came across is of a guy who was a mayor. He was a human. His name was Kenneth Simmons. And he was the mayor of Milton, Washington, back in 1938. And he put up a donkey. He nominated a donkey as a committeeman, a precinct committeeman, to, I guess, work with the donkey. And the donkey's name was Boston Curtis. But the thing was, Milton, Washington didn't tell anybody that Boston Curtis was a donkey. He just nominated him and added him to the ballot.
That's right. And this was clearly one of those cases where someone was like, our constituents don't even do their due diligence. They don't do their homework. They don't even care. They would just assume vote for a donkey is how the movie scene would go. And even though this mule ran unopposed, I think it was a mule. There's a difference, right?
Oh, yeah, there is. Please, God, tell me it wasn't a mule, because I've been saying donkey this whole time.
Well, Fodor's says it was a mule.
Okay. I'll take it.
That's right.
I'll take the hit.
So the mule did run unopposed, but still, I think the point was made that the constituents still did not do their due diligence, because it's not that they didn't think he was going to win, because it was uncontested, but the fact that it got so many votes clearly indicated that no one was doing their homework.
Right. Yeah. I mean, even if it is uncontested, if you know it's a donkey, you don't just vote for the donkey.
Exactly.
Unless it's possible that all those voters were like, yeah, I'm tired. I'm ready for a change.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good example. That's an unusual example. More often than not, if an animal is elected to office, it is out and proud as an animal. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, everyone knows that they're voting for an animal. Like, and it usually takes place in a town that's unincorporated, mm-hmm. So there's not an actual official mayoral position.
Sure.
And then usually they're trying to raise money for that town.
Yeah.
And it works, too.
It's a fun thing. So they will put up, here's an example, in Michigan, in Omena, Michigan. They raised $7,000 for their historical society, and this is just a few years ago, in 2018, mm-hmm. When a cat named Sweet Tart, which I love, great name for a cat.
It really is.
Won as mayor, and then they just filled up the town's government with other pets. I think there was the vice mayor was a puppy named Punkin Anderson Harder.
Yeah.
Special assistant for fowl affairs was Penny the chicken, and then press secretary was Harvey the goat. I'm sorry, Harley the goat.
Right.
Not Harvey the goat. That would not have worked out.
So Omena, Michigan is actually fairly well known for that. And there's another town that's pretty well known for it called Rabbit Hash, Kentucky.
Gross.
I'll let that one sink in for a second.
Yeah.
And in Rabbit Hash, they had a longstanding mayor, a dog named Lucy Lou, who was mayor for 8 years. Aww. And then I think Lucy Lou resigned, or retired, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not resigned in disgrace or anything like Richard Nixon. but instead said, I'm going to go, you know, enjoy my retirement. And so Lucy Liu was succeeded by a dog named Brynith Paltrow. And Brynith, I found out, ran on a platform, Chuck, of restoring the general store. It's a pretty good platform in a town like Rabbit Hash. And then, quote, to bring the yokels of Rabbit Hash and beyond plenty of peace and love, end quote.
I thought the platform you were going to say was that they ran on was cruising together.
Right. Man, you just triggered me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thanks.
Should we take a break and talk about more of this silliness afterward?
I think so.
All right. We'll be right back.
And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing. It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Hey, guys, you know what this playground could use? A wine country, huh?
A redwood forest would be cool.
Ski slopes!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
So remember way back, probably a week or so ago, in the choir that escaped that explosion episode?
Sure. Like 5 minutes ago for us.
And you said that you were glad there wasn't some, like, dark part to the whole thing?
Uh-huh.
Well, this one does kind of have a dark part, yeah. And we're about to enter it.
Yeah, this was, I believe you're probably talking about Lajitas, Texas.
Yes.
An unincorporated town, and they have another symbolic mayoral seat that they do for animals. And this one involved, I guess what you would call a dynasty, a family of goats. The first one was Clay Henry, not Henry Clay, elected in 1986. And then Henry was, and this is all just like shameful, they fed Henry beer and it was like, look at that goat, drink beer.
And get, like, wasted drunk from accounts that I read.
Yeah, it said, like, up to 35 beers in a single day, which you should not give an animal alcohol. This is all very shameful.
Right. Yeah.
And this animal, Clay Henry, lived at the general store there where it would lap up this beer, and was succeeded by Clay Henry Jr., who it looks like killed Clay Henry Sr.
Yes, allegedly they were both drunk, and Clay Henry Jr. headbutted Clay Henry Sr. and killed him.
Oh, my Lord.
And then took over as mayor, or was appointed mayor, I guess, by the human who runs the general store.
By divine right.
Right.
And then there was a third, too, right?
Yeah, you talk about the third.
Oh, all right. Clay the third was also a beer drinker, because these people in Texas just kept giving these goats beer.
Not just any beer, too. Lone Star beer.
Oh, of course it was. And this goat was castrated by a local man who was upset that the goat mayor was drinking on Sunday. And as I was about to crawl out of my skin with anger, I read the next line that this person did face animal cruelty charges.
Yes. So that's according to Roadside America. I couldn't find it anywhere else. But it's a heck of a story either way.
It is. And thank you for putting that last part on me.
You're welcome.
Sure.
And then also another long tradition of animals becoming elected to office, Chuck, is to basically shame politicians. To basically say, you stink.
Yeah.
We think you're terrible. An animal's better than you. Yeah. And as a matter of fact, you know, we think you're rats, so we're going to elect a cat. Or we think you're lazy, so we're going to elect a cat, right, or, you know, so on and so forth.
I'd say a sloth, but sure.
Yeah. So that's kind of a tradition as well, right?
Yeah, there was one actually happened in Mexico not too long ago in 2013, and they were upset about the rats in the town, or, you know, rats in the political sense, right, and maybe rats, period, who knows. And they elected a cat named Morris, who was not orange, tabby, but a black and white cat named Morris, a tuxedo, I guess. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Morris was nominated for mayor of Jalapa.
That's what I took it as.
Jalapa?
Jalapa.
I think it's Jalapa, probably.
Jalapa. Jalapa. I nailed it that last time.
Did you? Okay. And there was a couple of students, and as you'll see with a lot of these, sometimes it's the younger generation who would do it as a joke, but then it caught on social media. This cat gets about 150,000 likes on Facebook and then got 7,500 actual votes on Election Day.
Which in the 21st century, if you get the most votes on Facebook, you automatically are elected to political office.
That's right.
Another cat, this one in Alaska, was elected because he was a write-in, I believe. The town's 900 residents wrote him in, even though there are humans on the ballot, to basically just show their disgust at how bad the human candidates were.
Yeah.
And a similar thing also happened way back in 1959 in Sao Paulo, Brazil, where there was a rhinoceros called Cacareco, which means garbage. And he beat 500 other city council candidates, garnering 100,000 votes, which is pretty great for a rhino.
That's right. And then about 10 years later in Canada, there was an actual rhinoceros party. And I don't know, was it literally inspired by the Brazilian rhino?
I couldn't tell.
Okay.
I could not tell.
But it's obviously a satirical political party. And the argument that was being made was they're perfect politicians because they are, quote, thick-skinned, slow-moving, not too bright, but can still move fast when in danger. Yeah. And not the rhino that you hear these days bandied about in American politics. Different kind of thing.
What's a rhino these days?
R-I-N-O, Republican in name only.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I as I was asking, I was like, shut up, Josh. Shut up. You know this.
That's dumb.
There's another legendary one, too, that I had not heard about, but when I started researching, I was like, oh, this is a thing. There was a pig called Pigasus the Immortal that was nominated as president by the Yippies back in the 1968 Democratic Convention. And that was an enormously turbulent, brutal convention. It took place in Chicago. The CPD showed up and beat everybody up every night, arrested everybody for protesting the Vietnam War and all sorts of stuff. And the Yippies were the Youth International Party, co-founded by Abby Hoffman, and eventually became the Chicago 8 and then the Chicago 7. So that whole jam.
And then Chicago the band.
That's right. And then just Peter Cetera.
Right.
So in the midst of this crazy, chaotic event, the Democratic Convention in Chicago in 1968, the Yippies nominated Pigasus, and they brought this 145-pound pig to a press conference to nominate him, basically saying, like, we're just going with a real pig because all the other politicians are pretend pigs. Why not just elect a real pig this time? And they got about half of that out into the microphone before the Chicago police arrested him for breathing in public and confiscated poor Pigasus.
Yeah, they arrested a pig.
Yeah.
Technically, they confiscated it, but we like to say arrested the pig, along with the seven Yippies that were, protesting and, I guess, caring for this pig. And I believe that Pigasus was handed over eventually to the Anti-Cruelty Society, and the Yippies would go and visit, and then was like, you got a free Pigasus, and let Pigasus fly. And they did so eventually, and Pigasus, if you believe the story that you tell every kid when you actually put an animal down, they went to live on a farm outside the city for the rest of its life.
I saw it in the Chicago Tribune, so I'm hoping it was true.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we really can't talk about animals and politics if we don't talk about the OG, right? Caligula's horse.
Yeah. What was Incitatus?
That's what I think too.
All right. So this was
Pigasus, Incitatus.
This was Caligula's favorite horse and was appointed to serve as consul to the Roman Senate. And aren't people saying that, like, this isn't true, actually, this didn't happen?
Yeah, they think that it was part of a smear campaign by some of his contemporary or shortly after him, like, political enemies who were smearing him. And they're saying that it's probably, like, not true.
Okay.
But they also caveat that, which is another kind of Roman thing, with the idea that if Caligula did do that, he didn't do it because he was mad or insane. He would have done it as an act of humiliating the senators, saying, like, look, my horse is a better senator than you guys are.
Yeah, which is sort of in the tradition we see today.
Yeah, exactly. It's a longstanding tradition.
I love it. All the way back to Roman times.
Yeah. So get out there and vote, everybody. Rock the vote by rocking your favorite animal candidate next time you go to the polls.
The end.
Short Stuff is out.
Stuff You Should Know is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.